Yeah.
This is my mom, Nelly.
Yay, yay.
Say, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to my daughter, what?
Podcast.
Podcast.
Podcast. I know, podcast. That's a weird name. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Find the Funny. I have a fantastic guest today. My really good friend from Alaska. I met you how many years ago?
Two.
2 years ago, but it feels like we've known each other forever. This is Ken Peltier.
Hello, everyone.
Yes. I met you because we were both performing at Coots.
Yep.
And I met you as I was walking into the bar. Instantaneously, we became like best friends. Like,
yep.
Like right outside, there was just this amazing connection that, like, this depth that he has to him.
So do you.
Oh.
Yeah, I felt that as well.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I know, and I didn't even feel you up. It was like such a deep.
And that's why I thought we had a connection. But,
I know. I saw the little boner, and it was cold out, and I don't know how I got that.
See? Here we go.
Are we just starting off the top, and it's already a dick joke. What's wrong with me? All right, refocus.
Take two.
This is why I love this man, is because Find the Funny is all about us finding funny out of the things that happen in our lives. And he could not be a better example of this. You have gone through some shit in your life.
I'm a country singer. I have some real material. Now.
It's a requirement, right? I yeah. shot my dog. I ran over my wife.
I didn't do either of those, just for the record.
The night is young.
Yeah, you play it backwards.
I know. So he is the only country singer that I will watch, that I will actually stay in the room, not only because he's so talented and soulful, but just his story is, it just comes across in his act and his performance on stage. You can see it. It just, he like radiates this light when he's up there, and it's amazing.
Thank you.
I don't like country music, but
that was the pressure when we met. You said that, and then I went up and played. I'm like, she's staring at me out there. She's hating all of this.
No, I was just in disbelief that I didn't throw up in my mouth. I was like waiting for it. Whoa, you know, but it just, he's so good. And I'm going to get you to play for us a little bit in a minute. But I need you to share your story with the viewers because it's so inspirational. You've been through, you've had cancer. Stage four throat cancer.
Almost checked out.
And so tell me, that came how many years ago?
2009. Yeah.
Oh.
I had done a big show in the Sullivan Arena, opened for Montgomery Gentry. They're a big country act, and had a lump there. Kept feeling it. Went and recorded my third CD, and it was there still. And then came back to Alaska and had it tested before I was done with that project, and found out I had stage four throat cancer. So they cut my neck from here to here, and took out 50 lymph nodes.
You had it turned, so I would show this.
Oh wow!
This scar.
It was the size of the diameter of a pencil. And then, from there to there, they went out over my shoulder, took 50 lymph nodes out that had cancer, cut my tonsils out, pulled wisdom teeth, molars. And then I flew down to finish my CD in case I didn't live.
Well, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, then they started radiation for 3 months and chemo.
So not only you don't know if you're going to live, but your whole passion, your art, which is singing, is now that's gone. This is how you make your money and support your family. And now you don't know if you're going to survive, but then your dream is just stripped away.
Yeah, that's why I flew back. I was actually recording with some of my heroes, Waylon Jennings' band, and I had finished 10 of the 15 tracks. And I came back home and said, well, I'm going to go back and finish in case I don't live. This will be my last project.
Oh my goodness. And I know when you're faced with that initially, it's just this unbelievable wall of like, what am I going to do? What am I going to like? You must have been thinking a million things of like, what if I don't survive this?
Yeah.
How did you keep your mindset positive?
It was, I mean, it's like getting a bus dropped on your head for sure. And I was, you know, I have two little boys and wife. And yeah, I was like, but I went to the doctor's office one day after more appointments. And Melissa Etheridge, actually another singer, had the same cancer that I did. And she wrote this really, really good article about you just get scared and scared until you decide to fight and then you get clarity.
That's fantastic.
It was like a light bulb once I read that article, and I was quite a ways in and not a quitter. And you know, I lost a couple fingers in a construction accident 10 years prior, and this kind of really was a precursor prep for what I was about to face, because it makes you mentally tough if you don't lay down and quit, you know.
So, right. Okay. Yeah. So again, he's a singer, plays guitar, and he loses two fingers. How? You just want to take every body part that helps you do your talent.
I was being tested.
You were being, lose a couple fingers. Why not?
Well, and I hunt too, and I shoot bow and arrow, and I don't see, this is the truth. I was born, I don't see out of this left eye, so I couldn't switch hands. I had to learn again to play with my right hand, shoot, pull the trigger, and shoot bow, and start my truck, and so yeah, it was a little bit of training midway.
Can I see it? Yeah. We have to show. Like, can you guys? Is this, go to this camera? Look at this. You can't. He can't even flip someone.
Well, I can. In traffic, if I get mad, like I'll flip them off, and they'll be like angry, and then they see that, and they go. You're good.
It's a half. It's enough.
He's trying to be funny. They don't know it's missing.
Isn't
he adorable?
But I remember we went to dinner once, and we were laughing and crying at all the different names for merch that we could come up with.
Yeah.
Like Nubbin But Love. And that's my favorite. Well, what other ones did we come up with?
Oh, I said tapered for your comfort or helmet head. I said, yeah, when I get old, I'll still be of use.
Oh, Lord, that's super sexy. Oh, my gosh.
I guess. Yeah.
And
for somebody.
That is amazing. Wait, but and you told me that you have... On the nubs, he's got fingerprints.
Oh, like, yeah. Well, when it did, it kind of tore it off. And so there was a bone there. And this one was a little longer. So they took the finger pad from the middle finger and sewed it on here. So now I can get fingerprinted like this if I want.
You literally can still...
Yeah,
could not... At least you could get off on a crime. But no, they kept his fingerprint and they put it on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still traceable.
How did you do that part, the fingers?
Well, it was a moment of stupidity, honestly, and I mean that sincerely. But I was a foreman working for a construction company by day, playing music at night, and there was a big asphalt plant, and there was a big auger, and I grabbed my glove, and it went like that fast, and it was my own fault, and there was no, you know, being a professional plaintiff. I could have, and I said, I'm owning this. It was my mistake. I had been there 10 years, no accidents. Grew up on farms, no accident. Yeah. It was just I wasn't paying attention for 20 seconds. And so, but it really changed, you know, how I did things and made me stronger, and it earned me a lot of respect in the community, because I went back playing. They had to sew these together. It smashed my thumb, so I had to tape a thumb pick to play. 1 week later, I went back because I had a band that I was supporting. They were out of work while I was out of work. And then 1 month later, I opened for Tim McGraw. 8,000 people with my pick taped to my head.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yeah.
Were you bleeding? Was it?
Well,
was
they sewed it together, and I had big wrap right here. No, I wasn't bleeding. It was pretty smashed, but no, there was no, like, nothing the audience could see. But it was wrapped and sewn together, and...
But don't you need all of your fingers to play? How did you compensate for the...
Well, I didn't know. I mean, at the time, I thought I was done. I mean, I remember holding my hands to the sky, you know, like...
Right.
Because I shoot, and... I mean, I always saw it. I just love shooting and archery, too.
You love LA.
Yeah.
They're into shooting too.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I forgot where you come from.
I know.
I have to be careful how I say it. Well, I'm in Alaska, people. You have to have that skill.
Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting wabbits.
Now, what I've done is I actually started using thumb picks. So this is Black Mountain picks, and they're spring-loaded, so it doesn't get elongated and then fall off or stretched out. So that goes on my thumb, and I taught my thumb to do the down and up stroke that my first finger did, and now, so I play with my ring finger and my thumb.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it's just a thumb pick. And right. A lot of great guitar players with all their fingers use these. I hated them. I just like a flat pick. It seemed like it had a better, but this is how I worked around it. And once I figured this out, then my world started to be happy a little bit. And then I just had to learn how to have finesse again and what make my fingers do. I mean, I still miss, because I'm doing what three fingers did now with one, essentially, or trying to do both. Ironically, though, I learned a few things. Like, I was really struggling to learn the basic things, like start my truck, button my pants right. And I told the doctor, I said, why am I having such an issue with that? And he said, well, your ring finger is actually the weakest finger in your hand. That's why they tell women to put their makeup on with that finger so it doesn't wrinkle.
I always did it like this.
Oh, yeah, me too. Like, I was totally, when I did my makeup, I was just like.
I know, right? It's like, why am I using my thumb? What's going on?
But that's a true story. So the doctor said, yeah, that's your weakest finger, so that's why you're having trouble. And more important, your brain doesn't speak to these two fingers.
What?
Really? They follow. They follow these three. So that's why.
So you still had to think.
Retrain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, like, and now my brain is talking to these two fingers now to go, that's how you button your pants. That's how you start your truck.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a bizarre. So beyond the guitar and I'm a hunter and sportsman, and I had to learn basic things like how to hold a pen, how to hold a fork. But
yes.
I can use chopsticks, just so you know.
I love it.
I was like, I'm not giving up on that.
You're a right-handed man.
Yes.
I just have to ask, did you have to learn certain things with the left hand, or are you still really right-handed?
I feel very manly now.
Oh, yeah.
That was a little bit... That was a deep question.
That was a deep question. I tried to be very, I was nice about it, wasn't I?
I was very nice. I did for a long time. I would tell people, I go, yeah, this is one good thing about this is I feel a lot bigger now.
Of course. Yeah. You're just grabbing it with a pinky. You're
it's
enormous.
An illusion, probably, but. Welcome to our PG interview, people.
Yes. This is all about comedy. This is what we're doing. We're taking the injury. And we are laughing about it. You have the best sense of humor about the stuff that you've been through. I mean, I was crying laughing at all the stuff he was showing me with his hands.
There's a phase you go through. And yes. Like this happened first. And it was actually, it started as a wall I'd put up because I'd have good days and then people would want to ask me about it. And so I didn't do it intentionally. I was just like, if I made fun of it, I controlled the room, right?
That's exactly it.
Yeah. And so I started doing that a little bit and making light of it and saying I was going to get my handicap sticker or the whole, and I've always had a sense of humor and I didn't want to lose that. And honestly, I didn't want other people, they were more disappointed and sad than I was.
That's the crazy thing is when you go through something, they are more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so if you're joking and making light, they go, oh, okay, I can calm down about it.
Yeah. And so fast forward to the cancer. Well, that's a bigger deal because I thought I was going to orphan my kids. And
right.
I was running the union training program at the time and the band, and we work every weekend year round. And I just, all of a sudden, all of the income stopped and everybody's on hold now. And so I tried to get back up as fast as I could. But I lost 50 pounds through that whole thing because, you can't eat very well. You're getting radiation 5 days a week. And I wrestled in high school and wrestling is a sport that'll teach you about yourself. And all sports are right jiu-jitsu.
Right.
But wrestling, when they say wrestling team, when you're on the mat and when you're training, when you go out there, just one other person, like there is nothing everyone else can help you with. So you have to reach inside. And I wrestled under this guy named Lancer Smith, who's a legend in Alaska, tough mountain man. And he would always tell us, tough is here and tough is here. It's not here. Tough is right there. And I taught my boys that. And that helped me to that both of these. I would tell myself in the mirror, like, this is temporary. Be tough and put a smile on so you don't have everybody.
CH, that is fantastic advice. It is. And if you can laugh at it first, then other people are like, okay, we can, you know, he's trying to make light of it. So I feel like I'm okay to make light of it and not think of it on such a, because they're afraid to offend you. They're afraid to talk about it. They don't know what to say, but yet they're curious.
It's almost better if they do joke about it with me, because I don't want people to be sad. I mean, people were sad. I mean, I was, you know, pretty known musician in Alaska. And so when it happened twice, I mean, I did this, they thought I was done. Then 10 years later, I get stage 4 throat cancer, and both times I just rebound. And I felt like this responsibility to show people you can get back up.
Yeah.
You know, don't give up, because that's easier. And I, at the end of 7 weeks of radiation and chemo, I figured out why people do give up. I mean, it's, you're out of money. People are poking and prodding on you, and you're just mentally like beat up and can't eat, can't smell. But I would go in the mirror every day before my kids would come home from school, and I'd just look and make sure my eyes were right. Like I didn't look droopy, tired, and so that they weren't scared. Now, from 4 months of that, I watch people's eyes and I can spot from stage when someone's in pain for real.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah.
I'm an eye watcher.
Yeah, me too. I think that's why we connected so well, because we don't look just at the person. We stare deep inside and go, you're maybe not okay right now, or something's going on. You're putting a smile on, but I can see there's something deeper. And immediately, you're the same way. That is why when we're performers, what I love about your style is that when you look out into the crowd, you're not one of these performers that just performs above everybody's head and looks at the wall or looks down at your notes. I'm the same way. If I tell theaters and comedy clubs, I need a little bit of light in the audience, because you know what the blinding lights, you can't see people's faces or expressions or their body posture. You can't read them. And if I can't read them, I don't feel like I'm really connecting. I feel like I'm doing a speech up there. And so if I can see them and I deliver jokes, I actually look into people's eyes and you connect to them, it's a totally different experience. But that's what I felt like you did on stage. Yeah. You actually look at people when you sing. It's like you're delivering, here's this gift for you. I'm singing these words for you.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Thanks, Lisa.
It's on another level.
Only someone that has the same kind of soul, though, would see that. I mean that. Yeah, I mean that. Yeah, that's one of the things I love about you, is your heart. And the eyes don't lie. I tell people that all the time. Like, you can tell shifty, you can tell sad, if you know to look. Right. If you know to concentrate on it, you know?
Exactly.
And I do now, because I did it to myself daily to hide so people didn't feel bad.
Right.
You know? And then from that, now it's just instinct for me to look at someone and go, are they having a good day? I've got off the stage before and gone and sat with people on my break just to go,
I know.
Okay.
I know that about you. And that's why I was just like, it wasn't really about the music. It was about the soul that's up there. Thanks. Do they really care about others?
Yeah.
Do they really care? Or is it about glorify me? Hey, I'm up on the stage and love me and whatever else. You got to be able to like kick yourself aside and go, what I need right now is not as important as what they need. How can I heal them? How can I connect with them? That sounds very arrogant. We do get something from it. We do get gratification from it, but it is unreal. If you can just connect with a person that you've never met before and take them out of their pain
take
for
away.
A minute.
Take them away.
Oh, so powerful.
Yeah, I that that makes me tick, actually.
Yeah.
It's like their life. Like, I don't talk about this. Like, I don't post this on Facebook or social media, but I believe that's part of why I was allowed to live. I'm this singer that people see that cut off some fingers, that had stage 4 throat cancer, and I'm still opening for national acts and playing in other countries. And,
yeah.
And so they go, wow. And so on breaks now, people will come up, I'm approachable, and they're like, my dad or my uncle or my aunt's going through this. Do you have any advice?
Right.
And I feel like I'm like this first conversation for some people that just get the bad news.
Exactly. And the great thing about that is it's not like, hey, that one song that you sang, those one lyrics, it's about you. It's about your life. It's about what you're giving them, how vulnerable you're being up there, laughing about your situation. Because you do jokes in between. Oh. I mean, you're actually pretty damn funny.
Thank you.
I know.
I've always been the class clown, though, my whole life.
I love it. You were telling me about one of the moments where you went to go get a haircut after some of the chemo.
Yeah. In between your chemo things, like, you can get up and do things on your own. But other than that, it's like that commercial, the Verizon network, they move with you. Like, everybody was taking me places, you know. Right. And one morning I got up and I went, I'm taking my truck and I don't care what anyone says. I'm going to get a haircut and just drive somewhere.
Yeah.
So I go into this haircut place also and I sit down. I'm like, that's my haircut. And so she comes up and she's standing behind me and she says, and I quote, what do you want me to do with this? And I go, well, just cut it. And she goes, did you cut this yourself? And I go, what? And she gives me a mirror, like when I'm done getting a haircut, and spins me around. And the back of my head looked like a jack-o'-lantern on Halloween, like, you know how you carve a pumpkin? And I start laughing. And she goes, what's so funny? And I go, well, no one had the heart to tell me that my hair was falling out. And she goes, they didn't have the heart? And I go, well, yeah, I'm going through stage 4 throat cancer. I start laughing. I do. I start laughing. I go, no, it's funny saying I start laughing, but I remember laughing.
There's some lines that you use from the stage about your hands.
Yeah, I tell people about my accident, and then especially the ones, you know, that don't know the whole story. I'm like, but I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. It was my fault.
Yeah.
It's all my fault. Or like I'll say Ring of Fire, and I'll get to the end where it gets real quiet. It's a bird and thing. It's a bird and thing. And then I'll do like I'm doing sign with my fingers on the stage. And then people will be looking at me and I go, it's a shorthand. So,
that's perfect. I love it.
And I never plan that stuff. It's like Dennis the Menace lives on my shoulder and goes, say this now.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And they're comfortable and they totally crack up.
Well, I'm making fun of me. What are they going to say?
Exactly.
And I don't know. I just do it for... I fight it for effect sometimes, and I
shits and giggles.
I'm never disrespectful about it because it's me.
Right.
So my favorite thing to do in the bar at the end of the night when they're going to leave, they'll come up and go, all right, we got to go, Ken. And especially if they don't know I'm missing fingers. And I'll hold my hand up and go, you've been drinking, how many fingers am I holding up? And it train wrecks people.
Always. I'm like, oh, shit, I needed an Uber.
Yeah. So everybody, of course, the people that, you know, try to be funny, like people that probably try to tell you jokes all the time.
Yes.
They'll be like, well, it's 2 3/4. Or they always try to give me an answer. But there was this one time. There's a country singer, Daryl Worley, who sang Have You Forgotten. He's very famous and very good human. And I would actually consider him a friend now. And he's about 6'6", so he's a little taller. Well, he came back to Four Corners one night after we were done playing. And, of course, he's hanging out in the bar. Now, this guy's a star in Palmer, Alaska. So people are, they're being respectful. But it's now 2:30, and I've played 2 shows that day, and I'm his driver. And so I go up. I go, hey, Daryl, you know, can we go? And he's like, yeah, you can. He's got a real thick, yeah, can we? Yeah, we can get going, buddy. Let me just take a nap. Well, I did that about 3 times. And finally, I went up and I tapped Daryl on the shoulder again. I go, Daryl, you've been drinking. How many fingers am I holding up? And I mean, it's like he didn't miss a beat. He turned around and he goes, well, Key and I ain't all that good at fractions or nothing, you know? So.
Fractions.
And I was like, All righty then. I'll carry on. Ten more minutes. That's funny shit. So I ain't all that good at fractions or nothing. And it's just, he's got. Yeah, he lives in Tennessee. Yeah, I love that guy.
Okay, well, I wanna hear some music.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. Both of them? Okay, good. Yes.
I'm gonna turn like this.
Yes.
So yeah, see, I use this. This song I recorded on my second CD. It was written by my friend Hobo Jim.
Yeah.
And I heard him play this song one night, 15 years ago. And I grew up on farms. And I fish. This song is about someone who grew up without maybe water around and doesn't know how to fish. So their grandpa takes him out behind the barn to teach him how to fish.
All right.
Fishing for chickens, though.
Okay.
There's some country music for you. This is real country.
I know.
Woo. Well, grandpa gave me a fishing pole. We didn't have a fishing hole, but down on the farm that didn't really matter to us. Well, we'd sit out there in the old front porch with a rusty can of kernel corn, bait it up, cast it out in the dust. Fishing for chickens, you only get a big one. Even got white ones, black ones, yellow ones, red ones. It don't matter just as long as I get one, mama finds out. You wanna get a licking? Mama don't like nobody. Mama don't like nobody. Mama don't like nobody. Fishing for chicken.
Yay! That's awesome.
Yeah, I grew up on farms and I could just see someone doing that. So, yeah, I recorded that on my Educated Man CD. And that was pretty country, though.
That is very country.
Yeah.
I held it down.
We do it. Actually, I saw you doing the barnyard pack there.
I'm trying. I don't know how you. I can't two-step. Okay.
I don't dance.
You don't dance?
I look like a man trapped in a taffy-making machine when I dance.
Oh, that's hot.
You know what that's like? You know, I'm terrible. I play on stage music. You know, I don't get on the dance floor.
You don't? Yeah. But don't people line dance to your stuff?
Well, they dance. Yeah, I don't.
You just keep the beat?
Yeah, we play. They dance.
Yeah. Well, I dance during my shows.
Do you?
I know. He was shocked. The first time he saw me do stand-up comedy, he was like, what?
Boy, you're amazing.
Oh,
I was
thank
very
you.
Impressed how you interact with the crowd as well.
So, yeah, that's my favorite part.
Well, I didn't know who you were at all. I just knew you were a good human. I could tell immediately that. I mean that. Yeah. And then I watched you perform, and I was like, jeez, yeah, so good with the crowd.
Oh,
and good with hecklers, like so pro about it, because they, you know, you're working, you're being paid to work, and you kind of walk that line of not making the owner mad or that you're whoever hired you mad. And yeah, you're fantastic with that. Like, you can insult people with a smile, and they're not even hurt.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I know.
Were you there the night that I got a heckler? So I was on stage and there was two people at the bar, and I believe it was a brother and a sister. I thought they were a couple, and the guy was heckling like this, literally like, and I'm like, oh, he's drunk because he's been sitting at the bar, and a lot of drunk people heckle like that where they're like, and you can't even understand. They're so incoherent. So I started imitating what he was doing from the stage. I was like, shut the fuck up, you know? And this guy,
I was watching this.
And I didn't know, and the audience didn't know. We all thought he was just a drunk guy, but he was like a special needs guy. And here I am heckling this dude like in the most inappropriate
way.
You
made me so proud.
But he was laughing. Like, did you guys see him?
Oh, yeah.
Doubled over laughing. Every time I imitated him, he's like, that's my dream girl. You know, like. He was my biggest
fan. I
know. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And he came up to me after the show. I gave him an autographed DVD and, you know, some merch. And I just gave him the biggest hug because I didn't know until I literally, he was in my face. He had the best time. And because of his attitude, I could like look myself in the mirror again.
I remember you said, like, you sound like a walrus trying to get up on the ice.
I did. I'm so mean.
Yeah. I'm stealing that.
Yes. A walrus getting, I don't even know where I thought I
maybe it's baby seal.
That's even funnier. I hope that was my line. Oh my. See, I don't remember when someone heckles me.
The same way.
I'm like fire. I don't even know. Like, you're going to get some venom. So, and you watched me deal with that.
It was my first time I ever watched you perform. And I'm like, here's this person I thought had this sweet soul. I'm like, she's got a good soul. And I'm going to watch this stand up comedian. And then all of a sudden,
yeah. Venom. Yeah. Well, only when I'm being heckled.
No. And you were actually very well. There was a few of us that were going to go, I didn't even know you that well. And then we were like getting angry for you because it was getting to be that was the show.
Right. Right.
Because, but you handled that so well.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, you insulted him. Just
enough. I don't think I went overboard.
Wow! Did you hear the?
I don't speak shit face, but thank you for playing. No wonder you're not getting any. You should learn English and then talk to me, okay? Wow! Like, if you're gonna heckle, fucking make it so that I can understand.
I mean, how would you know? It's a dark, you can't see.
I couldn't see.
No, when you're
and
on
that's
stage.
What drunk people sound like.
Yeah, yeah. That's what some of my family sounds like, too.
Exactly. No. So I want you to play something for us that's just something from your heart, something, one of your favorite songs.
Okay. I wrote this song.
Okay.
With my buddy Jimmy about 15 years ago.
Right.
It has since been used in 13 weddings. I just played it last September on Johnny Cash's farm for a bride, groom, my friend Jimmy and Barbara.
Yeah. Oh, yay.
Yeah. All right. This is called When the Right One Comes Around. The day that I first saw her, my heart missed a beat. But looking back, it seems so strange to me. How two strangers just meet. You could search a lifetime on every street in every town. One day out of the blue it happens, the right one comes around, and your world's no longer empty. Sad songs no longer bring you down. Guess we write our own love story. The right one comes around.
Love it.
The man is good at being lonely, lost and feeling blue. There's nothing in the world like a woman to help a man get through. So don't try to understand the power in her hands. Pick you up anytime.
Oh, no,
aim you down. Look at that. The bride one comes around. That's enough out of you two.
I love it. This is my good friend, very talented, beautiful person, Ken Peltier. Where can they find you? Where can they find your music, social media?
Ken Peltier, Alaska. Ken Peltier Band, Alaska. Yeah, we're on Facebook, Instagram. I have some music, I think, on Spotify and iTunes and...
And we're
my also, face, you know, it's
my face, my face, his face, our fingers, wherever. Yes. And we're also going to put a link below in the show notes so you can click and download some of his music, support this amazing artist, this
Thank
amazing
you so much.
Human. And if you don't get inspiration from the fact that he has gone through all of these things and still has a fantastic sense of humor and a deeper soul, then call, because I'll help you with that. I'm Lisa Alvarado. I love you guys. Thanks so much
Thank
for
you.
Tuning in.
Thank you.
Thanks for finding the funny with us. We'll see you next time. Peace out. Peace out. Give me a peace sign.
Peace out, bitch.
Peace out, bitches.
Just say something nice.
I hope everybody listen to my daughter and see it and laughing with her because she is very funny.
Awesome.
That was great. That was perfect.